Business Baby with Melissa Ambry on Blog Talk Radio. Savvy solutions for your business.
Hello, hello, hello. We are on with It's Business Baby. Our guest today is someone that is very good in LinkedIn. You know that thing, that social media, that item, that tool, that online thing that we click on every so often. You know, we're heavy hitting on Facebook, Twitter, but LinkedIn kind of, you know, dangles to the side and we peek in it every so often. So many of us have an issue with getting LinkedIn set up the way that it needs to be set up, manage it, content, scheduling, all of the above, to make it work like our other social media platforms. So today we have Mike that's going to be on the line with us, and he started his consulting company back in 2015, and he worked with a variety of different companies nationwide to help them build their customers by leveraging the power of LinkedIn. So now's your time to listen in, tweet, ask questions. We're on Twitter. It's BusinessBay, BAB1, hashtag Savvy Solutions, hashtag LinkedIn. So with no further ado, hello, Mike. How are you today?
Hello, Melissa from Baltimore, Maryland.
From Baltimore. Thank you so much for joining us on the call today.
I am happy to be here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait. So, you know, I see, you know, I read your bio and see, you know, you got started on LinkedIn. Of all the things out there, what made you intrigued by LinkedIn and dive in?
It really came out of my background. I've been a sales professional for over 20 years, and in the last 17 years, I've been in the technology sales industry. And a few years back, I started looking for a better way to find customers. Because the old model of smiling and dialing, picking up the phone, making 100 phone calls, really wasn't giving me the results that I needed in order to make the sales and earn the commissions that I wanted to make to support my family and the lifestyle that I had. And A friend had invited me to connect on LinkedIn. And like many people, I did a half-hearted attempt to build my LinkedIn profile. I didn't have a picture, didn't really flesh out all of the content on there. And it sat dormant for several months. And I was looking
like most
to find
people.
Out. Yeah, exactly. And I was looking for some customers, and I was doing some research online, and I noticed that a lot of the customers that I was researching, the first hit I would normally get was a LinkedIn profile. And that's when I discovered there's so many ways to find companies, to find people, to find job titles. And it's incredibly valuable. Now, I come at this from a sales perspective because I'm a salesperson. And what I've really worked on the last year or so is becoming a LinkedIn evangelist. I want people that are not salespeople to realize, first, you have an element of sales in your day-to-day business because you have to engage other people and persuade them to do things with you and for you. And because of that, having an optimized LinkedIn profile is the best way to get business done.
Okay. Explain optimized profile.
Great question. When you first build your profile, like if I'm looking at yours right now, yours says talk show host at It's Business Baby Talk Radio.
Oh, wow. You put mine up? Oh, wow.
we're going to have real examples, real feedback here.
Go for it. I'm one of those, so let's go for it.
And there's a lot of good things about your headline. you've got talk show in there, you've got the name of your talk show in there, and that helps people find you. Now, we have 120 characters that we can work with in that headline, and what I suggest to people is maximize those 120 characters. Yours says talk show host at It's Business Baby Talk Radio. I would suggest removing the at and the it. That's proper grammar, but it's not making the best use of those characters. You could put the word podcast in as well. People searching for podcasts would find it. And you want to develop a list of about 20 keywords relevant to your business. Particularly, you want to make those words from the perspective of, if somebody wanted to find me, how would they go about finding me? And you want to put those in your headline, because when people do a search on LinkedIn, the competency of your profile helps move you up the search rankings. If somebody types sales on LinkedIn, I'm going to show up higher than most of my competitors because I have an optimized profile. What I mean by optimized is I have a picture, which you do as well. I have a summary section, which you do as well. Believe it or not, around 40% of the profiles I look at don't have the summary section. And that's a shame, because that's a great place for you to tell your story, for you to say why you do what you do, why you love it, and how you help people. And it's a great place to add more keywords. You know, looking at yours, you have some great brand names in there, including Coca-Cola, Chevron, Pennzoil. Those are great keywords, particularly if you're looking to do business with Pepsi or some of the other competitors out there. They're going to look for their competitors' keywords when they're looking for things. And then under your experience, you have a good timeline of your experience. Now, what I recommend to people to help optimize their profile, move up the search rankings, is you want a recommendation for at least every experience that you have under your experience section. And it's important to point out that says experience. It doesn't say job history.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do great volunteer work that you don't make a penny from, but it's valuable experience. And you want to include that in your profile, and you want to ask people to recommend you. And when you have at least one recommendation for every job on your profile, it moves you up the LinkedIn search rankings. Now, naturally, you want as many nice people saying things, nice things about you as possible. I have heard some say, well, you don't want too many recommendations. I say there's no such thing as too many people saying how wonderful you are. And the longer the history, when you can go back, I can go back 18 years ago and I have recommendations from managers, coworkers, and customers that I worked with 20 years ago saying what a good job I did. And that's what you want. You want a nice mix. You certainly want your customers to say what a good job you did. You want your managers to say what a good job you did. You want your coworkers to say what a good job you did. You want the people that you volunteer with in the community to say what a good job you did. So you want to touch all of those points. And then once you get past that component of your profile, you have volunteer experience. And the more that you can put in about that volunteer experience, that's another great place to add keywords. Are you on a board of directors? Did you create a fundraising program for a specific nonprofit? Because it does a couple of things. First, it shows people that you're active outside of work. And second, it allows them to identify with you because it's something that you're passionate about. I would say somewhere in a range of 60% of people don't have volunteer experience filled out on their profile. Now, some of them just don't volunteer, which my first statement is you need to fix that. If nothing else, it makes you feel good about yourself as a human being. But find something that you're passionate about. Most people that meet me know within 5 minutes that I have a son who's autistic, and I do a lot of work in the Maryland community for autism. I raise money for them. I go to events. I raise awareness. That's my passion. That's what I do. And I have gotten customers because I have shared that, because I have built those relationships. So the volunteer experience section is really valuable. And people tend to overlook that. And the more of these sections that you include in your profile, the higher you move up the search rankings. Once you get past that, there is the skills section, which is also known as endorsements. For the longest time, I told people that endorsements were a waste of time. They were just silly. No real value. LinkedIn uses them to position you within search rankings. So you've got event planning, and you've got almost maximum capacity of 98. After 100, they stop counting. So that's one of your top skills. When people go to look for event planners, you're going to show up higher than I would because I don't have event planning, as you should. And the best part is you can manipulate those. You can move them around. So if there's one showing up in your skills that really isn't relevant to you, like if you look at mine, many of mine are for my technology sales. And those things are relevant, but I really want to focus on my sales training, my LinkedIn training, my public speaking, my leadership skills, because those are the things that, quite candidly, make me money now. And when you get past that, your education is much like your experience, your career. You want to put as much information in there as possible. You have your interest section. That's a great place to put keywords. You have a couple of interests in there right now. Sprinkle those keywords in there. Get as many of them in there as possible. People will love to find out that you're into event planning, bowling, and traveling. You should absolutely have podcasting, talk show hosts, current events, news. And, again, working on that list of those 20 keywords you came up with, just sprinkle them through. And then advice for contacting Melissa, you've got it spot on. You've got an email. You've got a phone number. I can't tell you how many profiles I look at that people will write something like, feel free to email me. Great. What's your email? How do I get a hold of you? Make it easy. And you've done a great job of that. You've made it easy for people to get in touch with you. I can email you and I can call you. Now, I've had some people say to me, well, I'm uncomfortable putting a phone number in there because I don't want to get calls at all hours of the night. And what I say is, get a Google Voice number. You can have it set up so that it rings right to your cell phone, and you can even turn it on and off. So if you're on vacation and don't want people bugging you, you can turn it off and wait till you come back from vacation. And that way they never have to know your actual number. And the last thing I'll touch on is groups on LinkedIn. You can join up to 100 groups right now. And I recommend getting in as many as you can. I'm in, I believe, 75 now. And the value to groups is, are you familiar with the term mastermind, Melissa?
Yes.
Okay. So for those in the audience that aren't familiar with the idea, a mastermind is your trusted resource circle. These are people that you can go to when you have questions about just about anything. And because of their varied background and expertise, they can help answer those questions. Every group on LinkedIn is now your global mastermind. It's a great way to engage. You go to a group, you ask a question relevant to the group, and then people give you feedback, and it helps you solve problems and advance your business. And it's a great platform to make yourself top of mind. You can share content in there. You can ask questions. You can answer questions, and all of that works towards positioning you as a thought leader. All right, I covered a lot there in a short period of time. So, Melissa, what questions do you want to ask me based on what I just went over?
That is invaluable, the information that you gave. And, I mean, you did hit on a lot of points of, it's, you know, maybe some of the simple things that people just really don't know what to do or how to do. And then there's those that know what to do and just kind of, I'll do it later, and later never comes. So
right.
All of those little things that you shared, the keywords, you know, I have this list that I developed. I call it Wordplay. I have it saved as Wordplay, and I just have a variety of different words. And it's a lot of duplication there if just the average person saw it. But I may have one word with three other words that mean something, And then the word in that one over here as a main word, and then other words next to that mean something. So I just have this big wordplay document that I have, and I, you know, just constantly
add to
it.
What a great idea. I'm going to steal that from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, you know, one of them things when you come across a word or you're doing something and you see, you know, you're looking at the thesaurus and dictionary, you're scrolling the internet, okay, I don't want to say this, but I want to, you know, sound a little bit more exciting, and you're searching. So, you know, you're constantly adding to it, and it makes it easier when you're working on things. And then here you're saying drop all these keywords, sprinkle them all over the place, and just, you know, have them wherever. So that's a good research assignment for business owners and, you know, people looking for employment on LinkedIn, because I do know a lot of people do use LinkedIn for employment reasons as well, not only for businesses. Is that correct?
It is the smartest way to find a job. What I tell people to do is you come up with a list of your top five companies that you'd like to work for. And this is a kind of a change. Most people that are out of work are like, well, I'll take any job. No, no. Don't disservice yourself like that. Find a company, the culture, the ideology, the passion about that company fits you.
Would you say the same thing of what you just said? Would you say that hits business owners as well if they're looking for a certain company that they want to, you know, work for or try to become, you know, a client or something? Would they use the same technique that you're describing now?
Yeah, the best thing about the job search is it's just like finding prospects. It really is. Finding new clients and finding a job are almost identical. You're talking to different people, but ultimately the same thing. When you go on a job interview, you're selling yourself. And a lot of people don't think of it that way, but if you can embrace that idea, meaning I am confident in my skills and capabilities, that's what a good salesperson is. They're confident in their skills and capabilities when they go in front of a client. And they do research, and they understand the customer's needs, and then they propose a solution that fills those needs. As a job applicant, you are filling a need. That company needs you, or else they wouldn't have posted the job.
Correct.
And when you get to that point, when you go into the interview, your inclination is to let them ask you a bunch of questions, but the smart thing to do is to say, I've noticed with my previous employer the following things. How are these impacting your business today? Because this is how we handled those situations and made the company better. And when you do that, you change the perspective of the person that's interviewing you. And the best thing that you can do is when you raise a subject that they say, huh, I haven't thought of that before. Because now you're delivering value even though you don't work for them yet. And the likelihood that they want to hire you has just gone up tenfold. But back to the technique, you look up, you find these five companies, and then as you research each company, you want to find out who the hiring manager is, if they have a recruiter. You want to get those three or four job titles, and then you want to find out who that specific person is. And LinkedIn has great searches for people. You know, if I type in hiring manager on LinkedIn, I get 11,500 results for the word hiring manager. So I can first refine that down to people, keeps the number the same. And then I go to second degree connections. Now, here's why that's valuable. I want to talk to people that know somebody that I know. So I've got hiring manager, I've got second degree connections. Now I'm going to refine it. I'm in the Baltimore area, so I'm going to refine my search down to the Baltimore, Maryland area. And you can even look up by zip code. If you go in the advanced searches tab, you can put in a zip code and say, I want to search 10 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles, 75 miles, 100 miles, whatever you think is best.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at my results, the first one that I got, I have 11 mutual connections with this woman. And some of them I know very well. But what I'm going to do in every case is I'm going to call all 11 of those mutual connections and say, hey, Elliot, I was thinking about a job at Jessica's company. How well do you know her? What do you think are the best ways for me to approach contacting her? So it's not that I'm responding to a job, because most of the jobs that people want are never advertised. And that's how you move yourself to the front of the list, by picking companies and identifying yourself as someone that can help them in a department. So I'm going to reach out to all those mutual contacts. One of them I have 73 mutual connections with. So invariably, I'm going to get through that list, and by the time I get down to number 73, 9, 10, 20 of them have probably reached out to Jessica and said, hey, you want to talk to this Mike Sheila guy? I think he can do great things for your company. So I'm creating the buzz and the excitement just by leveraging our mutual relationships.
Okay. You're saying leveraging mutual relationships. Some people, I'm going to talk on both sides of me leveraging your relationship and vice versa, is because leveraging someone's relationship is not necessarily like, oh, well, I'm going to use you because you know this person, things like that. And people that run into people like that, I've had some conversations with certain people where, you know, they may have become unconnected with someone or, you know, no response and different things like that. And I'm all about connecting. If someone contact me and say, hey, do you know, so I can't talk for you. But I can say, oh, yeah, you know, call such and such, and, you know, they could probably help you a little bit more. So the people that's on LinkedIn, what is the best way to explain to them of not thinking that you're using someone because you're leveraging their connection, and on the other end, don't feel used because someone is contacting you or something because of a connection you may have?
Sure. When I do my LinkedIn seminars, I have a cluster of ABCs. And most people know ABC is selling me, always be closing. I've gotten rid of that. That is the worst thing that you can do, always be closing. Instead, I tell people to always be connecting and always be cultivating. People are pretty good at the connecting part. You know, you go to a networking breakfast, or you're at a luncheon, or you're at a happy hour. You meet five or six new people, you collect some business cards, and you send them a connection request on LinkedIn. People are pretty good at that. The step that they miss is the cultivating part. One of my favorite things about LinkedIn is that every day there's this little flag right at the top of your screen that tells you everything going on in your network. It tells you that Phil just posted a new blog post. Dave likes an update that mentions you. Kelly just posted a new update that mentions you. And in addition to that, it also tells you when these people have a job anniversary, when their birthday is, or when they get a new job. So you have two or three ways that you can touch your contacts every single year. And you're not asking them for something. You're just saying, hey, Melissa, congratulations, happy anniversary on 20 years doing your podcast. What's in store for the rest of the year, and how can I help you achieve it? I haven't asked them for anything other than to help them. And I do that with every single one of my connections. And then if somebody posts the blog, I can then share that and say, here's a great post by my friend Philip from the financial industry. I think you'll really like it. And I'm helping him get the word out. And he's going to remember, hey, Mike helped me. Mike shared my content. And it's those, things that cultivate.
Okay. So it's being careful on the other end when you're asking for a connection. You have to be participating throughout that relationship. Even though it's online, you have to continuously build that relationship. And that's with any of the social media platforms and not just, you know, always, you know, having that ask out there. So building that relationship, like you said, sharing their information and vice versa and commenting and, hey, here's some quick tips to do X, Y, Z, you know. So absolutely. Okay.
And in addition to that, instead of me reaching out to you and saying, hey, Melissa, will you introduce me to Bob? I'm really interested in the job at his company. Instead, I change the frame. I say, hey, Melissa, I saw that you're connected to Bob at XYZ Company on LinkedIn. How well do you know him? I was thinking about reaching out to him. Can you give me some pointers on some things I might want to say to him when I call him so that he'll take my phone call? I'm asking you for help, but I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not asking you to introduce me to Bob. Now, what happens is, more often than not, when I frame the question that way, you'll give me some feedback and you'll say, well, hey, Mike, would you like me to send an email to Bob introducing you? Melissa, that'd be fantastic. Thank you so much. So even though that's what I wanted, I didn't ask for it, but I got it because of the way that I presented my situation.
Absolutely. It's all about that presentation. All about the presentation. I'm just kind of just letting you go because, I mean, you're giving so much valuable information and, you know, so many people, you know, not really focus in on LinkedIn as much as they are Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and these others. So with that being said, how do you compare the two of LinkedIn as being more your professional platform and the others can be, but they are, I would say, somewhat of a condensed down version, what are your thoughts on that?
Each platform certainly has a different audience. I think that's the fairest way to put it. And I did a speaking event a couple weeks ago, and I was one of several panelists. So there were six of us speaking that night. And one of the gentlemen after the event knows that I'm a LinkedIn trainer, and he connected with me on Facebook. Like, that's how he decided to reach out to me. That's his comfort level. And for Facebook, I don't have nearly as many connections as I do on LinkedIn. And the big reason for that is when I go to a networking event or I meet a client, those are LinkedIn connections. Those are professional connections that I want to cultivate. Facebook, I have a business page on Facebook, but Facebook is more about my friends and my family and the people that I've developed a friendly relationship with over time. So there are many of my connections on Facebook are professional connections, but they're people I've known for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. LinkedIn really is, and Facebook, it's okay to post videos of cats and ask math questions and things like that. LinkedIn, that's not the place for it.
Right. Okay. So what is one of your biggest pet peeves on LinkedIn?
The photo. You can get...
Is it not
quality...
having more or the type what they put?
Yes, both. You can get a quality photo for anywhere from $50 to $100. And depending on where you are, I know they have the Business Journal in Dallas. It's the Baltimore Business Journal here does a business expo two times a year. And the last eight expos they've done, there's been a booth set up where you can get a free professional headshot done. They do a quick little makeup on you, make sure you look good for the camera, take the photo, they send it to you, and there's no charge. LinkedIn even did a headshot tour bus last year. They went to all the major cities across the United States and said, hey, we're going to be in Chicago tomorrow. And people could sign up to go into the bus and get their photo taken. And because think about it, you want your picture to be clear and you want it to look like you. So that if somebody met you at an event, you're like, okay, yeah, that's Mike. That looks just like him. But if the picture's not really close up and it's not professional and it's hard for me to tell who you are, it does you a disservice. And worse, people that take the pictures with their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their husband, their wife, it's with the kids, it's with the dog, it's them leaning on the car. It's wearing a sombrero.
Right.
Drinking a margarita. You want to do I have some of the goofiest profile pictures on Facebook. In fact, right now it's me and my wife at a baseball game, and I've got a big silly grin on my face. But that's my friends and my family. That's not mm-hmm. the image I want to portray on LinkedIn. So I get the photo taken, and I recommend that you get it updated every 3 to 5 years, or if you've had something transformative to you. So for gentlemen, if you've grown a beard or shaved the beard off, get a new photo taken. For the ladies, have you changed your hair color? Did you go from platinum blonde to raven brunette?
Is it was it cut super short? Now you grew it out, and yeah.
Or is your picture of you 10 years ago? You know, I've got salt and pepper in my hair now. So if you saw a picture of me from 5 years ago, it doesn't really look like me. Those little things, they go a long way to helping establish your online brand, your professional brand.
Okay, and now that we're talking about the image. Now, there are some people that don't put their headshot, they do a logo or an image. What do you think about that instead of their headshot, and why?
I think it's a bad idea.
Okay.
Because your logo will show up down in your profile. And there are plenty of other places where you can promote your logo. When you build your LinkedIn business page, if you look at my profile, my Mike Sheila Consulting, right next to that is my company logo, because I built a Mike Sheila Consulting LinkedIn business page. And again, maybe people don't remember the name of your company, but they remember that your name is Melissa. And if they see the mm-hmm. picture, they'll be like, well, I'm not sure that that's her. But with mine, you see my name, you see my face, it's all very clear. Now, I'm fortunate. I have a very unique name. But imagine if your name's Bob Smith. How do I know I have the right Bob Smith?
Correct.
The easier you can make it for people to connect with you, the better off you are.
Okay. Now, LinkedIn has, of course, a free platform, which most mm-hmm. people are on that platform. Then they have a paid.
Mm-hmm.
When should
they have several tiers of paid.
Someone decide to move to the paid, if ever?
There's a couple of benefits to being on a paid platform. One of them is your search capabilities. When I was talking earlier about putting in a job title, refining the search down, seconding all that,
mm-hmm.
you get a limited number of those with a free account each month. With the paid accounts, they're unlimited. So that's the first reason that you would do that, particularly if you're in a sales role like I am. Or if you're an entrepreneur or a solo business person, you're constantly looking for people. Recruiters, hiring,
mm-hmm.
constantly looking for people. They should have a paid account so that they don't run out of searches in a month. That's the
mm-hmm.
first big differentiator. The other one is getting what they call InMail. Now, InMails allow you to directly message anybody on LinkedIn that you're not directly connected to. Now, I'll give a quick qualifier here. If you share a group with someone, we talked about groups earlier and how valuable they are.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big values mm-hmm. to groups is you can message up to 15 people a month, 15 different people. So I can have – you and I aren't connected, but if we shared a group, I can message you back and forth unlimited. That's one message. So I can message 15 different people every month that I'm not directly connected to on LinkedIn, as long as we share a group. That's one of the biggest values to joining groups, in addition to being able to share content, answer, and ask questions. Beyond that, let's use the scenario of you found somebody you want to talk to, you've used up your 15, and you can't find a good person to give you an introduction. Maybe they're a third-degree connection, which means they know someone that knows someone that knows you. Use the InMail to directly message them. and you can do you get 5 of those a month on the job seeking platform, and you get 15 a month on the sales platform, and it goes up from there.
Okay. We have gone over a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay.
I'm sorry. I mean, I get talking, I don't stop.
No, you are fine. No, you are fine. I mean, it's not a problem. I mean, I just, you know, extended the time. I mean, you're giving information that's needed and it's necessary. So, you know, it's no way I could cut this short. You know, and for those that's used to listening to the show and you hear the tiny tips during the show, I apologize. I did not do it this show, but tiny tips has been throughout the entire conversation. So I think that any questions that you had for LinkedIn, it's been pretty much covered. And if there's something that has not been covered, I think once you start working on some of the things that Mike has talked about, listed, start with the basics, you know, update your headshots, you know, work on your summary, add your keywords, the simple things like that. Once you start there, connect with them on LinkedIn. It's Mike Sheila. Am I saying that right?
Sheila, just like the girl's name.
Sheila. Okay, Mike Sheila, S-H-E-L-A-H. Connect with him on LinkedIn as well. And, you know, share how valuable the information is. You know, just let him know that you're on there, you're bettering your profile and starting to utilize LinkedIn as well, including me. I'm going to start utilizing LinkedIn a little bit more than I have been. And adjust my keywords, you know, do a little sprinkling on my profile page as well. But I'm glad to know that it's not as bad as I thought it was. So that's a good thing.
You have a pretty good one. Definitely some opportunities for us to enhance it, but a pretty good one.
I appreciate it. So, but before we get off, I want you to let everyone know how they can connect with you, they can work with you, if you have workshops, podcasts, videos, anything out there that you want to share with the listeners.
Sure. Naturally, you can go to my website, which is MikeSheila.com. You'll find me on LinkedIn. You'll find me on Twitter at Mike Sheila. You'll find me on Facebook, Mike Sheila Consulting. And you'll find me on Instagram at Mike Sheila. I'm very Googleable, as I like to say. You type in my name, you're going to find a way to get in touch with me. I've done probably about 15 podcasts in the last 6 months. So if you search my name, you'll find me on iTunes. You'll find me on Blab. You'll find me on all the blog platforms out there. If you go to YouTube and you type in Mike Sheila and LinkedIn, you'll get a hit for 7 or 8 of them that you can listen to. And to anybody that goes to my website, they can sign up for a free 3-page report where I will personally review their profile and give them my top 12 best practices as well as my 5 favorite tips and tricks to really make your profile stand out. And then the last thing that I offer the audience is I do one-on-one coaching sessions for $500. However, the first 5 people say they heard me on your show when they reach out and want a session, they will get it for just $250.
Half price. I love it. It's business, baby. I love it. Well, thank you again, Mike, for coming on, sharing all the information that you shared. And I really hope a lot of people start to take some of the tools that you've given and start to put them to use. It's pretty much no excuses now, so they all just need to put them to use. And remember, mention that you heard Mike on It's Business, Baby. You will get a one-on-one consultation 50% off from the man himself. At which you said a LinkedIn evangelist, that's what you call yourself?
I am a LinkedIn evangelist. I'm taking the word to the street.
All right. So thank you again, Mike. And I look forward to continuing following you and possibly even bring you back on, you know, keep this conversation going because it's always needed. So thank you again, and have a wonderful
day. Thank you for having me, Melissa.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
You too.